Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is Elements, our monthly bonus episode brought to you by our wonderful patrons who support the show on a monthly basis. You can visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information about how you can support the show and get some pretty sweet content for your support. So really, it's a win-win. There's absolutely no reason not to do it.
There's no reason. Like, I'm trying to think of a legitimate reason not to, and I can't think of one.
It's not there.
It's not there.
If you don't know what Elements is, let me explain. We normally go through retro games, and we play them for a week, and we talk about them, blah, blah, blah. We give our stupid opinions. But this is a break from that format. And in those retro episodes that we do, we talk about gameplay and these elements of a game. So we decided, hey, let's have an extra series where we choose one element and one game and then talk about why that game did the element well. Those elements are graphics, music, story, characters, and gameplay. And it is a really fun series. We have really enjoyed it, or at least I have, and that's what Elements is.
I think you can speak for all of us. We've regularly mentioned on the air and off that this is one of the more fun things about the podcast.
It's great.
Nolan, in fairness, Elements episodes still have their fair deal of blah, blah, and our stupid opinions.
Oh, sure. Well, yours.
For our 8th Elements episode, 8, guys. 8.
I know, I was just thinking that. Wow.
That's a lot.
We are going to be looking at a series of platform video games originally developed by Rare and later developed by Retro Studios. All of the games were published by Nintendo, wherein you play a gorilla and a monkey. I tried to group them and say, like, you play as a group of, but you can't because I did a little research, and gorillas and monkeys are very different from one another.
Yeah, defensive, but let's be real. Chimps. They're all monkeys.
They're not monkeys. They're not apes. They're not it's all different stuff.
The ignorant would say that, Kenny.
Yes.
Okay, here's my stupid opinion, and that is that for our purposes, it's a monkey game.
Well, you play primarily as a... I don't know if it matters because your gorilla is naked, but he is wearing a red tie. And your little monkey is wearing a red shirt along with a red baseball cap. No pants. And then you do have a different cast of characters that join you depending on the game in the series that you are playing. It is a side-scrolling adventure to conquer various enemies, overcome daring obstacles, and gather scattered collectibles. You've surely guessed what game and series we are going to be talking about, but you're correct. It is Donkey Kong Country, and out of all of the great elements within these games, we focused on one in particular for this Elements episode. So, join us now as we talk about the music of Donkey Kong Country.
So let's jump straight in. Since this is a music episode, you get to hear a little bit about what we're talking about. So take a listen real quick to the first track that I wanted to discuss, and that is from the original Donkey Kong Country. It's called DK Island Swing. So here's why I picked DK Island Swing. To me, out of a lot of the songs that we listen to, and I think we probably mostly listen to all of the OST between all of us, at least for the main games this week, I would imagine. But this one just felt really iconically Donkey Kong to me, without doing some of the things that I felt like they actually kind of missed it in a few places musically. I got to start by being negative because we're going to say a lot of great things about the music in this game. For the most part, all of the tracks where there's like really annoying monkey noises that are coming at you really loud and bold just come off as way over the top to me and grate me really wrong. And every time I listen to them, I'm like, nope, skip. That's the worst.
Now, monkey noises or gorilla noises?
Oh, great. This yes. whole episode.
It's all going to be monkey everything.
Here's the thing. Although you don't get monkey noises in this one, you do still get that like forest feel. Like it right. starts off with those bongos. Boom.
Right. That's part of why I picked this one is because it didn't do the animals. It did it really overtly. There's lots of songs later. We'll even hear some as we talk about other tracks that like just sort of subtly put some of that animal noise in there. But this one like overtly has animals, and it's clearly this whole kind of in the wilderness monkeying around theme going on, but they do it without being annoying. And when the monkeys screech at me, I get really, really angry and I'm like, ah, this is the worst. But here it's like this slow build and they work in the drums and you get this Donkey Kong feel. I don't know how else to describe it. But without the annoying screeching monkeys. And so it's just, it's really, really well done.
Well, this is a song that I think about when we talk about Donkey Kong Country. Like, this song screams Donkey Kong Country to me. Probably because it's one of the first games that you're going to hear when you're starting the series. It is in the very first stage. Right. Not only that, it's in the second stage too, and in many stages after that. If you're anywhere familiar with this series, you're going to get some reoccurrences of songs. It's not the same song on each individual stage, but when you go to different stages, depending on the theme of the stage, they'll be playing a song that you've probably heard before.
Yeah, that's classic Nintendo.
So the thing that I like is even when they're not actually like playing a whole song again, playing the actual theme or whatever again, they work in some of those same just like themes and motifs and like shout outs to other songs. These soundtracks really are composed really holistically. Like you can feel how there was influence from one game to another and from one area to another, and it plays between the songs well with those kind of details.
I think my favorite part of this track in particular, and it actually happens in a few of these we'll talk about, is the like dual vibes that it has. So it starts off super forest and upbeat and classic Donkey Kong, but then it's got like this dark, serious, like cave feel like halfway through the song, which is something I really love and I think represents the series so well, is that they are able to balance lighthearted fun and, you know, nod to the fact that you're playing as a gorilla and hitting animals, but then also like have this really serious theme.
Yeah, I swear Nolan like stole my notes for the show that we wrote separately. I said it, this what I love is that as it builds into the middle, there's this serious tone and there's this tension, and that what makes this track so amazing is just how well balanced it is between, you know, the serious and the lighthearted, and it's just really well done. It's genius.
The first song that I picked was also off of the original Donkey Kong Country game, and it is probably one of the most notorious songs from the series because it is your backing track to all of your underwater stages, and the song is called Aquatic Ambience.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of firsts in this one. It is the first underwater stage. All the other stages prior to this one were above ground. It is the first time that you get to ride the swordfish. So throughout the game, you as an animal ride other animals, including what? Like a rhino is one of them, and
I don't think a swordfish.
The frog's not in the first one, is he, or is he? Ostrich is in the first one.
Yeah.
But
a whole bunch of animals. There's a spider.
There is a spider, yeah.
There's a snake.
A bee?
That's
a
bouncy.
Bee?
Yeah, I think there's a bee, too. Yeah.
Different times. Different games. This is a theme that continues throughout all. But this is the first time you come face to face with the friendly swordfish named Ungard.
Ungard.
It's French. Ungard. Yeah, kind of Ungard.
If you transound French, you'll get closer.
And water stages, no matter what game that you're playing, are notorious for frustration, right? And that's no difference here. But you've got an incredible soundtrack to help mitigate the feelings of failure that you are bound to experience in playing this stage over and over and over again when you're dying over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's almost like they knew how hard that one was going to be. So they were like, we've got to balance this out and give them something pretty to listen to.
Yeah, something pretty, something peaceful, maybe even tranquil. Like it is, it's a song that somehow with the limited capabilities they have, this is on the Super Nintendo, by the way, they've created it to feel as though the song itself is underwater, that it feels aquatic. You've got the reverb that is playing throughout the song and on different notes. You've got this pulsing bass. Again, both of those providing some kind of underwater ambient feel. And then you've got these synth pads that are just providing this. And again, you've got this slow buildup, but then before going into an actual melody, it brings it back down and then it slowly builds it up again. So you've got all of these dynamics that are happening in this song, but nothing in the song is urgent. Nothing in the song is dire. It's a song that's trying to calm you down, help you to breathe as you get through this very difficult water stage.
You say that, Dustin, but to me there's a little bit of like a tension in the middle of this music. Yeah, it's totally underwater and the tone is like wonder and aquatic and chill, and you feel that so well, but they also put a little bit of like, just musically, I think, at least I felt it, there was just sort of this tension through the whole thing that to me is the emotion that you feel when you're playing these underwater levels.
I definitely hear some of that and can sense some of that. Part of it, it's hard to disconnect the music in my head from the gaming experience that I've had while listening to the music. You know, if I would have never played the game and just hearing the music, that's one thing. But now they're so fused together that it's hard to separate. I think, though, I would still maintain that overall this song is one of tranquility over franticness, which you do get in other tracks, even some that we're going to be mentioning shortly.
On a technical note, one of the things that this track does really well that I think I noticed more than I would have listening on a TV, because I was listening a lot on earphones, but you would notice on a TV if it was playing in stereo, is their use of those dual tracks. They have this kind of percussion and like counter melody stuff that swaps from the left to right side and kind of plays back and forth and really makes you almost feel kind of surrounded, and it all just adds to the experience of being underwater. It's genius.
My first song is also from Donkey Kong Country 1. It's almost like we planned it, but we didn't. Called Fear Factory. So this track is playing while you are going through Oil Drum Alley in the creme croc industries portion of the game, which is towards the
end. Pretty late.
It's like you have been through most of the game, so you're getting rewarded with some really hard stages. And the music lets you know that. It's the opposite of aquatic ambience. It is very upbeat, and it starts with just this like bass line, this really fast bass line. And then so you're in this factory, first of all. Let me just set the setting of this stage. It's not in the jungle. It's not like on a ship or on the water. It's in a factory. So like think like, I don't know, Sonic is in factories a lot. It's just, yeah, it seems like strange.
Machines are working and you
can hear it here. They really pull off that kind of industrial feel with this song.
Yeah. And that's what impresses me the most with this one, is that it fits so well with the vibe of the stage and what you're doing in it. You're dodging fire and like oil drums, and it's just really on theme here. And so the bass line's going, and then the snare comes in and the beat starts going. And all the while you have like this little, it's going to be hard for me for all songs to name an instrument that it sounds like, because it's obviously not, I mean, it's gating music, you know, but it's like this little chime melody that is going. And then like horns come in, kind of. Is that how you would describe that?
Yeah, probably. There's definitely horns in a few of these tracks. Although, like you said, you're not listening to real instruments.
It's not an orchestra.
No, yeah. But there's a lot of places where you can tell they were going for a specific instrument or vibe.
Yeah. And so the horns come in with this riff that really adds to the precise platforming that you have to do. It's pretty epic, and it just works so well as you're playing through this late game stage. And then everything kind of drops out. The drums drop out and it gets quiet for a second, and then it's slowly, and then that bass line starts again. And then it's like, all right, let's get back to it. It's just such a great mimic of the level design.
I remember this song because I listened to it over and over and over again, because I believe Fear Factory is one of the tracks on a stage where the lights flicker off and on throughout the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's an early, early stage where lights flicker off and on, but you have control over it if you are able to hit barrels that keep the lights on. But in this one, you have no control. So the lights will flicker off, stay off for a good 4 or 5 seconds before coming back on.
Yeah.
And there's moving platforms, there's pits to fall into, enemies that are standing in the way. And when the lights go off, you can't see a thing. And so just dying over and over again.
Yeah, it's intense.
There's a reason they call it Fear Factory.
It's true.
It's a well-named track. It is true. And Nolan, you mentioned it, but one of my favorite parts of this track, there's a few of those little interludes that go from being this really heavy, fearful, kind of you're on a mission in the middle of tension thing that it's got going on, to like suddenly being kind of light and pleasant, and it really breaks it up.
Yeah.
If I had any complaint about this one, and I don't, it's a great track overall, but it's a little bit repetitive, you know, and there's not a heavy melody either. So just as its own song, it's not a great standalone piece. But as a video game track that's going on and setting the mood for what it's doing, it does the job absolutely perfectly. All right, so speaking of lights flickering and scary moments in this game, our next song is also one that's got a little bit of tension in it. It's from Donkey Kong Country 2, and it is called Haunted Chase.
Ooh.
All right, this one needs a little bit of backstory, because I didn't choose this song to be one that we were going to talk about in this episode. My wife did.
Wifey.
Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy Kong's Quest is her favorite video game of all time.
Good choice.
And yeah. So when I told her that we were going to be talking about the music of Donkey Kong Country 2, of Donkey Kong Country, she was like, well, that's perfect. That means we can spend a whole night and you can watch me play the video game.
You and can watch I'll... me?
Uh-huh, yeah, direct. She played Donkey Kong Country 2 all night for us and ooh, provided nice. Our entertainment. And we listened to the music and she... I told her, you know, hey, pick a song that's fun and stands out and that really makes you think of this game, and then we'll talk about it. And she chose Haunted Chase. I don't know why. I think because this level is such a nostalgia bomb for her, it is intense. But this piece ended up being the perfect one to talk about because it is so dramatic. It's kind of got this chase scene vibe going on. So this is one of the many levels where you're on like mine car tracks. Yeah. And you're traveling and the sections of track have fallen out. And so you're having to jump broken tracks and go up and down. And in this one, it's also haunted. So you're being chased by this ghost and this timer is ticking down. And there's things you have to grab to increase your time and things you have to avoid so that your time doesn't go off. And it's just this big dramatic piece for this big dramatic level. And it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, so it goes along with the name of the song. You are in the haunted hall, and there's a few other stages that implement the song as well, but the entire area of the map that you're in is this creepy ghost graveyard type theme. And right. So you're getting that time and time again.
But it plays in a number of them, or maybe variations. And it's just, it's such an intense track, and those minecart levels are crazy intense because you got to hit the timing just right and the stuff is flying at you, and so it needed a big dramatic piece to go with it, and this one is clearly there.
Yeah,
I will say there were a couple of times, and I'm going to spend more time talking about another one, but that you can hear the composer of this song's influence from other music, and this one has a really clear allusion, kind of chord ripoff, I don't know, call it what you want, from the James Bond soundtrack. It's super overt. Listen to the song, you'll hear it if you think of it with that in mind.
I didn't catch that, but I think you're probably right. The whole Gloomy Gulch section of the game is brilliant. Like, every stage is so well designed, and especially the Haunted Hall chase scene, it's so great.
This song makes me think of Fantasia, you know, in The Sorcerer's Apprentice, when things start getting crazy, the brooms start getting out of control, uh-huh. Mickey has lost control of the magic, and the music continually like builds and builds and builds till the point of it being very frantic and water's going everywhere.
And then there's these big like splashes in time with stuff. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It feels like Haunted Chase.
You could almost overlay those two things, and this would be the perfect backtrack to that.
A portion of this song is actually a sample in Drake's song Six God off of If You're Reading This It's Too Late, that Dustin pointed out to me this week. If you like go to the YouTube video for this song, all the comments are references to Drake's lyrics, and it's so funny, but like such a good sample. Like, it just goes to show how good this music actually is.
You can always sort of see influence in a composer from other things, and Drake being taking from Diddy Kong Country 2, who took from the James Bond theme, and so on and so forth. It's kind of just cool to watch all of that stuff interact.
So my second song is also from Donkey Kong Country 2, and it is comparable to my song from Donkey Kong Country, Aquatic Ambience, and we'll talk about that. The title of this one is often confused. They often say Stick or Brush, but the actual song is titled Sticker Bush Symphony.
Thank you.
So far, there's a common theme in my songs. I really, really enjoy peaceful tracks laid over stressful stages. I'm not good at these platforming video games, and if I don't have a lot of lives, I'm going to game over, and it's going to be even more maddening, to where I'm not going to be able to listen to the rest of the songs on the track. But with this stage in Donkey Kong Country 2, and these stages, you are often in a huge bramble bush, and you can get hurt by the brambles that are surrounding you. So you're not on solid ground. You're in one of the stages, the first one where this song comes into play. You are going from one barrel to another, and you use these barrels to launch you out. They project you out forcefully into another barrel. Some of the barrels are not currently on your screen, so you're just hoping that you're going towards another barrel. It's one of those stages that you kind of just have to play enough to learn what barrel is where, because you'll most certainly, the first few times that you're playing, launch yourself directly into the bramble bush, which will hurt you. So there's no ground. It's unbelievably frustrating. But again, they provide you with such an enthralling soundtrack and create this atmosphere that has the ability to kind of just calm you down and cause you to enjoy the stage that you're playing.
And you're not kidding. This is probably one of the hardest stages ever of any game. It's so hard and frustrating because you have to time those barrels. Like, they're moving. Some of them move like they spin. And so you have to like hit the button at the perfect time to get you right in between vines. And yeah, you can't see where you're really going. So you're just kind of like, well, I hope this works. I think that this is probably the greatest video game song ever.
Wow.
It seriously is so iconic. It has been redone so many times. It's a complete classic from this series, and it's one of my favorites. Like, I was mad at Dustin for picking it. It's so good.
So there's a few things that when you're doing musical anything, it would be really easy stylistically to overdo. And two of those things that can be done really poorly are kind of islandish vibe theme music and electronic music, especially when you're talking like 90s style electro vibe. And this song does this mashup of this kind of island electro 90s thing so perfectly that it kind of blows me away, because I don't know, it's just that balance we talked about in some of the other things, that you can tell the people that were composing this music knew what they were doing. I will say some of the electronic instruments in this are a little bit gaudy for my taste. There's this kind of muted trumpet-ish sounding thing.
Yeah,
that it kind of takes me out of the groove of the rest of the song, that I'm like, they could have toned that one down just a little bit. It's just that one. But then the rest of it, it makes you want to just chill and like do something leisurely. And some of those drum heavier parts and the way it like echoes back and forth, it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
It's a relatively simplistic piece, yeah, all the way through, especially at first. A synth with a few keys that come in and play this iconic melody every once in a while.
Yeah, unlike Fear Factory, I would listen to this just on its own. Fear Factory to me is more dependent on needing to have the video game there, but this is just a great piece of music. I just chill to it.
Back
for
off
sure.
My song choices.
Yeah, why'd you go after Fear Factory?
Oh, just because that's the one that I like pointed out that I
Back
felt
off,
that relationship
son.
Was important. I just mostly pick on Nolan.
My second pick is from Donkey Kong Country 2, and it is actually kind of is the main theme of the game. It's called King K. Rool Returns.
Thank you.
I think this song is such a perfect opener for this game. When it comes on and I load up the game, it's just like so epic. Like you're about to get into something so good. And it's got this pirate vibe going. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Very classic pirate kind of sound. It's, again, it's hard for me to describe like what those sounds are, but it's just really, really serious kind of when it starts. And again, these games are kind of silly. You're playing as a gorilla and a monkey, but it does go into that pirate theme, and it's a short song, but like it hits this game on the head for me. Like it represents the game so well.
It's not a violin, but it's kind of like this epic violin-esque synth,
yeah.
It sounds like to me, that it starts with. And it took me completely off guard. This is not what I would expect Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest. Listen right. to that title, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Conquest. It would not, in my mind, this is not the theme music. This is not the song that's playing while you're at the start screen.
Absolutely.
It's more, because this is so different than the theme song to Donkey Kong Country, the first game.
Yeah, it's not like the classic Donkey Kong happy jungle. It's like completely like you've got to go kill some people and get your gold back from the pirates. I don't know. I think that's why I like it. It's just a little different for the series.
It really is different. Part of what's different is because it wasn't doing the islandy stuff, they were able to do this sort of big orchestral style that just has so much punch to it. Even though it's a kind of short track, it's just like hit after hit, and it almost to me sounds like this kind of song you would put on the back of a movie trailer. I don't know why, but it's got this like movie trailer-ish quality. Maybe it's the like timpani at the end that just end the song so well or something. I'm not sure, but it's definitely got a ton of punch for the short track that it is, and it's really well done.
I do think that it had big shoes to fill. Donkey Kong Country had great songs and everybody knew that. And so for the second one, I think they had to start off strong. And so they put this epic, unexpected song there that really links the two games together. If you've played them, mm-hmm. Donkey Kong Country ends with a battle on a ship, a pirate ship, against a pirate captain. And Donkey Kong Country 2 begins on, I don't know if it's the same ship, but a pirate ship with enemies on it that you're escaping from.
That's such
and
a good point.
It's yeah, great.
So musically, they know exactly what they're doing.
You're right. You're so right. That's great.
So that takes us to the last of my song picks. I wanted to spread the love over different parts of the series. And even though our hearts and affections probably lean nostalgically a little bit more towards Donkey Kong Country and Diddy Kong's Quest, Donkey Kong Country 3 has one track in it that really stood out to me as kind of being worth talking about. So let's jump in and check out Krematoa Concerto.
Kenny, I'm proud of you for being able to pronounce that correctly, because not only are they made up words, Krematoa at least, right? Or is
yeah,
that
completely a made okay. up word that now, I'm aware of.
Now, the second word is a word, I think, that having to do with something musically, but
a concerto. Yeah, absolutely.
Both of these words in the title start with the letter K, which is a common, with a K, reoccurrence with a K throughout this series because of King K. Rool, right?
Yeah.
And Donkey Kong, and it just, yeah they play heavy true. On all the K things.
Their names are great, though. Like, there's a lot of puns in the stage and the area names, if you care to go look at them. It's pretty great.
So, this song is just, man, it makes me happy. It's got this super slow start. There's kind of this slow, rumbling build. It's almost like just a pulsing. And then it comes in with this little kind of bomp, bomp, that it just repeats all the way throughout the track. And then, and when I listened to this the first time, it almost made me laugh. It immediately goes in. I told you there was another song that I felt like they literally just ripped off from an earlier, more well-known song. It literally goes into a really well-known chord progression, but taken and twisted and kind of with a minor sort of dark play on it, where they sort of end it differently and have it laying over a different background, where instead of being this upbeat song that it is, it's kind of low key. And so here's challenge mode. If you want to see if you can hear what song I'm talking about, go back, play it back real quick, listen to it for a second, and tell me if I'm not crazy. But this song 100% is a ripoff of Give Me Some Lovin'.
What is Give Me Some Lovin'?
You're so wrong, though.
Do you not know that? You know that song.
Sing it.
No, and sing I don't it. Want to.
Give me some lovin' every day. There's this intro thing that's exactly that progression. It's a
Kenny
it's
thinks
before
that
your
they
time.
Stole all the
No. Yeah, it's not. James it's not Bond a stolen from- thing. It's a like. It's a like play on and shout out. It's not like a rip. It's slower and they take it dark, and normally it's an upbeat happy song, but it literally is just like a tweak on that progression. And it was just really fun to me because when that song is upbeat and positive and energy and spunky, this song is just like chill, and it like fades in and then it's minor and dark and repetitive, and there's this simple plucking thing on the xylophone that comes in every once in a while just to add flavor, and it kind of just rests in this like subdued place with this repetition of that bump bump, and then kind of just like fades into nothing, and oh, it's just beautiful and I love it.
That being said, beautiful is a unique word for it, because I think that it's meant to be kind of intimidating or frightening.
Dude,
and in fact,
yeah.
I think it's a song that's used near the end of the game, or maybe even on the bonus stages or bonus areas, that's kind of just saying, hey, like, this is serious now. Like, this, we're not playing around anymore. You're about to get into some very serious platforming here. And it's pretty intimidating.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down too. Like, it is chill, but it's also like, it sounds hard. Like, it sounds like the stage is going to be hard. And it is. And it's like, it's kind of like Fear Factory in that way, where it's like, it kind of matches the difficulty and kind of the opposite of Aquatic Ambience and Sticker Bush, but still, yeah, it's a solid track. I have the least experience with Donkey Kong Country 3. I have played it, but I've played the other ones more.
Yeah, I'm in completely the same boat. And you guys are right. I talk about this as beautiful, but I just mean beautiful as in like it's enjoyable to listen to. It's definitely that kind of dark minor key intensity and this like slow build and then slow fade out that's really what it does so well. And it just, I don't know, it kind of resonates with me for some reason. It sets the mood so well.
So my final song is the final song of Donkey Kong Country. I'm going back there. Donkey Kong Country is where I spent the majority of my Donkey Kong Country game time as a kid growing up. And this song is the final boss music of the first game. It's called Gangplank Galleon. as a kid, pirates are the coolest thing in the world.
Mm.
They are.
As an adult, pirates are the coolest thing in the world.
Yes.
And
I'll agree with that one. That part of the statement, I'll agree with.
You're scared of them as a child?
No, I just think...
As a kid, pirates were the coolest things for me. And to get any kind of pirate theme in a video game was super cool. Here in the boss battle, you don't start with this epic soundtrack at all. You have this perfect pirate-themed music, which is light and fun and piratey. You're on a boat. You're starting a fight with the final boss of the game, which is a crocodile in a pirate costume.
And a crown.
And what?
And a crown.
And a crown. Yeah, just ridiculous. But out of nowhere, you get this one note that slowly kind of creeps in and then and builds, and then slowly these other instruments come in, the pirate theme fades away, and then you get this driving bass, these synthetic drums that come in, and it amps, it seems like the song changes as the difficulty of the battle increases, and the intensity of the song amps up with the intensity of the fight, until you get to this point about 30, 40 seconds in where this synthetic lead, like guitar lead, comes in, and it's just absolutely iconic and makes you feel like you are truly having an epic boss fight.
It's so seamless. Like it sneaks up on you, and for them to be able to do that in a video game song is so impressive that they were able to engineer it that way, because it slowly transitions into this separate song almost. And then when that lead starts, you're talking about, Dustin, it to me feels like celebratory. Like, okay, you've made it to the end of the game, let's finish this. And it just oh my gosh.
Like you're on a mission, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it How do they think of that? Like, what?
Did any of you get vibes of Chocobo Racing right
You're
at the
going
very...
to compare it to another song they
you
stole
gotta
from?
Stop.
No. You got your timing backwards. This would have been inspiration in the other direction.
No, Chocobos were around before Donkey Kong Country was around.
I guess that's true, but I'm specifically thinking Final Fantasy VII Chocobo Races.
Okay. No, I didn't
that intro sequence has this like blah thing. That
I thought you were talking about the riff.
No. The whole intro that like you're doing all this jolly, I don't know, happy pirate jig Bollywood.
I'm thinking of the golden
music.
Saucer for sure.
Yeah, and then it just has this moment that kind of hits this little note.
Oh,
that for me just felt super Chocobo Race. Huh. I'm sure it's just because they use a similar musical convention, but it made me smile. I'm with you though, Dustin. The best thing this song does is that transition. Like it leaves Happy Pirate and then kind of goes back to Island, but then still has some of the same tone. And then like by the end, it still feels piratey, but completely different. Like serious pirate metal rockers that are trying to like kill you. Like goes from happy jig pirates to like pirates going to murder you. And then it kind of just fades out at the end, and it's got all of the story and energy and fun that you need for a series ender, for a game ender.
Well, it gets even better, because if you remember the boss fight, you beat King K. Rool and the credits start to roll, but it's weird because the coding and the concept and every other thing that is being mentioned all have K's in the name, coding concept, and even the one who created the game. The commander is there listed at the end, and it's King K. Rool, and every other person that's being credited for the different things within the game are all of the enemies that you fought so far. And so then the end screen comes up, but instead of the end, it says the end, and there's a question mark, and it's a false ending, and the music continues and gets even more epic as King K. Rool gets up, the credit screen stops rolling, and you have to fight him again in a different way. It's incredible.
That's
so genius.
Really good. Yeah, I love them for that. And that leaves my final song choice for this Elements episode. I'm taking a turn here, and we're going all the way to the Wii U. And this song is from Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. It's called Seaside Tide. So Tropical Freeze is one of the most, is the most recent installment in the series, and it is so good. You would think that, you know, you've got Donkey Kong Country 2 and you can't top that. It's the best, and yeah, it probably still is, but no, they just stay consistent in the series if we're just speaking quality of the game. And I chose this one, this song in particular, because it almost reminds me of aquatic ambience in a way. Don't shoot me yet. It's not as like, it's not chill vibes, like very serene, like aquatic ambience, but it does represent that seaside, that aquatic ambience. Well, like in terms of setting, in terms of stage. And there is a rendition of aquatic ambience in this game too. So it's just bonus, but this one has a lot of island vibes. So you've got like xylophone or steel drum chimes, the whole intro and bongos. And the beat starts going with the bongos, and it's kind of an upbeat, like chill, go through the stage song. Kind of one that I could just listen to. And if you make it long enough in the song though, it hits you with saxophone.
Oh my gosh.
It hits you with out of nowhere saxophone that is so good and fits so well. Like, that sounds ridiculous and stupid, but let me tell you, it's so
Kenny
well blended. This dude needs to shut up. He's
going to say it's like James Bond. Every like, one of my songs. Have y'all seen James Bond?
It's good, but listen, it's one of my favorite Donkey Kong songs, and that game is really great too.
It's a game that I haven't played, a game that I think that I would actually love most out of all the series. It came out in 2014. What was it? Wii U. And I think it's probably the first one that, sure, they're still doing some synth stuff, but they're probably using some real instruments. Like, that might be a real saxophone that's being used there.
I think so.
And they, throughout the game, they remade a lot of the iconic tracks from the previous games.
Yeah, like high quality, good ones, not bad renditions, but really on point ones. It's one of those that I could keep playing the stage over and over just to hear the music. There are some of those moments from my childhood where I just played the same level over and over again.
So I literally wrote down about this song, the sax that comes in halfway through might be trying too hard, but otherwise it's just a nice laid back tune. I definitely didn't hate it. I feel like in all of the tracks, some of the little bonus stuff that they stick in there to break things up, and like or hate the sax here, it breaks it up well, is so smart, because video game music can be repetitive and they just keep things fresh with these little like nuggets of goodness, and this track did it too. You're right, it totally hit the island vibe that this one's going for. Like, we're not in the jungle anymore, there's still this animal thing, but it's again done tastefully, and there are a few tracks where it's not, and I hate that, but overall this one was beautifully done and laid back and feels like a video game still. And man, it was just, it's a good one to pick, Nolan.
We all have opinions, and you might have now gone to the end of this episode and realized that your favorite Donkey Kong Country song was not included in our list of favorites. And so you might be angry. You might be furious. You might want to write us and tell us how wrong we are. feel free to do that. Or you could just say, hey, we've got different opinions. And we probably like the songs that you like as well. There's very few tracks on any of these games that I just don't like whatsoever. Now, Kenny, on the other hand...
yeah, he hates some of them.
No, no, no. They're the annoying monkeys and occasional over-the-top lead guitar were Donkey Kong Country OST no-nos for me. But besides that... And there's people who would totally appreciate that guitar. Besides that, this music fits the game and it's well-crafted. And there's a reason that this is the game we decided to talk about their music, because they did a top-notch job.
We'd love to hear what some of your favorite tracks from the Donkey Kong series are. So please send us in those thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com. This is a special bonus episode, Elements. We've got a regular weekly episode as well where we look at retro video games. We play the game for a week and then we get together and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly about said game. So join us from our regular week to week, and we'd love to interact with you. We hope that you've enjoyed this bonus episode, Music of Donkey Kong Country. We mentioned our patrons at the top of this episode, but we want to give a special shout out of appreciation to our producers, Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino. They really are the ones that make this show happen. Until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still wrong about all my song choices.
I'm Nolan.
And you can decide who is Donkey Kong, who is Diddy Kong, and who is Dixie Kong. And this has been another bonus episode of New Game Plus.